بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا، وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها، كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. صدق الله العظيم. The name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. All praise is due to Him. We ask for His mercy and forgiveness. And we ask that He shower our beloved Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with His peace and blessings, and upon all His family and His companions, and upon all of those who follow Him with guidance until the final day. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah reminds us, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah, have taqwa of Allah to the extent that He deserves, and do not die except in a state of submission, in a state of Islam. And hold tightly together to the rope of Allah, and never become divided. And remember the favors of your Lord upon you when you were enemies, and He brought your hearts together, and you became only by His favor brethren. And you were on the edge of a fiery pit, and He saved you from it. Thus does Allah reveal His signs, so that you may be guided. Allah speaks the truth. Today, inshallah, my topic that I chose is self-care and mindfulness in Islam. And self-care is kind of a hot topic among those around us, Muslims and non-Muslims. And I've reflected a lot on what kind of different things people do for self-care. And in reflecting, you realize the importance of self-care for everybody, Muslims and non. It's a necessary part of the human experience, just like we need food to eat, and we need sleep to re-energize, and we need human interaction and love to enrich us. We also can't live a healthy and sustained life without the mental and spiritual self-care necessary to carry on. Taking care of ourselves is also the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, when he taught us that our bodies have a right upon us, and that we have to care for ourselves and our bodies. Realistically, every one of us is dealing with their own struggle in our day-to-day life. We have a constant jihad, not just the general fight for justice and the struggle to serve Allah, but we struggle on a day-to-day basis in going out and making sure that we could feed our families and provide roofs over their head. Raising children is a struggle. For those of you who are parents, being patient with your children is a struggle. Navigating relationships with your parents, with your spouses, with your siblings, with your loved ones, all of these things are a struggle, and it's oftentimes the people who are close to us that cause us the most difficulty and the most hardship because of that connection and that love. If anybody tells you they're not struggling, they're lying, because life is not easy. Life is challenging. And in order to face those struggles, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of our own mental and spiritual being so that we can continue in the struggle. Along the way, all of us, we take a lot of punches. We take a lot of punches in the form of illness, your physical body getting old and sick, sadness, dealing with the sadness and loss and the day-to-day and the depression of the dunya as it throws different things at you. We deal with setbacks, we deal with loss, and every day we're expected to get up and keep doing the same work every day, day in and day out. So how do we maintain that energy, and how do we maintain that strength, and how do we maintain that continuity in the face of all these challenges? Burnout is something that's very real. It's not some foofy 21st century concept. People get burned out. They need to take breaks. They need to have a day off. They need a vacation. And you realize when you are burned out, because you know you make decisions that are not exactly what you would do if you were on top of your game. And I'm thinking specifically when I was writing this about being a father, having a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. Even the way that you raise your children changes depending on where you are mentally. I know that the sunnah of the Prophet is that we're patient with our children, and we love them, and we hug them, and we don't physically use violence, we're not aggressive with them. But when you're burned out, all that goes out the window. When you're exhausted, and you come home tired, and they're trying your patience, and they're knocking things over, and they're dumping their food on the ground, your ability to be your best self becomes challenged and it becomes strained. And that's when we need self-care, in those moments of challenge, in those moments of hardship. Besides raising kids, even professionally, when you're professionally pushed to your limit at work and you're facing challenges and you feel like mentally you're compromised and you're expected to do your best work, you're not going to do your best work in that moment. That might be the moment where you yell at one of your colleagues and regret it later. Or it might be the moment where you make a bad decision because you're not thinking right. And for our professional relationships and our personal relationships, self-care is something that we really need to focus on in order to make ourselves better human beings. The same way that we train ourselves professionally, we need to train ourselves spiritually. We need spiritual education the same way we need professional education in order to continue and move forward and advance in our lives. This idea of mindfulness is a method of self-care. Mindfulness means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I looked at the definition to see what Mr. Webster calls mindfulness. They define it as the state of being conscious or aware of something. Focusing awareness on the present moment, acknowledging and accepting your thoughts and feelings, and being reflective, not reactive. Mindfulness means being in that state of mind where you're aware of what's happening around you, you're thinking, you're thoughtful, you're reflective, and you're present in the right here and the right now. In that kind of ability to be mindful is a tool. It's a tool that clinicians and therapists use to address anxiety and stress, and being able to focus their patients on the here and now instead of worrying about what's going to happen to me tomorrow, or am I going to lose my job, or am I going to get that contract. And it helps them focus instead of regretting on what happened last week, and I wish I could have done something different, or I wish I could have made better choices. The mindfulness is, let's think and be present, be right here, be right now, reflect on what's going on around you. And Allah speaks to us in the Quran extensively about this idea of mindfulness. And as we understand it in Islam, this idea of mindfulness is taqwa. Taqwa. Allah speaks to us at length in the Quran about being mindful. And that's called taqwa. Being mindful of Allah is meaning that you always remember that Allah sees you even when you don't see Him. This idea of taqwa is very similar to the Western idea of mindfulness, whether or not they see Allah as the ultimate form of consciousness. But Allah is reminding us that is the ultimate form of consciousness. That is the ultimate form of mindfulness. The way we act should reflect the fact that we're always remembering that Allah is watching us. A famous author once quoted this idea of your reaction time as mindfulness. And he said that mindfulness is about extending the period of time between the stimulus and the response. When somebody stimulates you, whether they say something offensive, whether it's somebody physically reacts to something and hits you, whether it's your child throws something across the room and breaks it, that's the stimulus. Your response might be a split second after. It might be 1 second after, it might be 5 seconds after, or it might be a day later. And the longer you're able to extend that period of time between the stimulus and the response, the better you're able to make a decision, because you're being mindful and you're being reflective. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches this idea of patience, because patience is not the knee-jerk reaction that many people have at every stimulus. And if you don't have that idea of mindfulness, patience, reflection, your actions will reflect that. A lot of people don't really care to think about Allah. A lot of people who don't believe in God don't have this idea of somebody's watching me. Their instinct is the knee-jerk reaction all the time. And again, that is not the sunnah of the Prophet, and we have to be able to differentiate ourselves from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Ar-Ra'd, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبِهِمْ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and whose hearts find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah, without a doubt in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find satisfaction. Remembering Allah and having that taqwa of Allah is really the only thing that brings us peace. It's the only thing that makes us feel connected and whole and one with our Creator. I ask you to think back to the last time you had a very spiritual moment, whether it was during Taraweeh or Qiyam al-Layl, or a morning that you woke up for Fajr when everybody else was sleeping, and you had that kind of connection, and you had that kind of reflective moment. Those are the kind of moments where the heart finds peace, in the remembrance of Allah in those moments. And incidentally, we have an opportunity for one of those moments tonight, where we have a spiritual night at the masjid. And it's important that we capitalize on those moments where we have the opportunity to remember Allah and to have that connection, because that's where taqwa comes from. And that's where the satisfaction of the heart is found. And that's where we as Muslims look for mindfulness. We're reminded of the power of mindfulness in the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, where he reminded us when we seek refuge, the dua is Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl wa a'udhu bika min ghalabat al-dayni wa qahr al-rijal. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from worry and sadness. I seek refuge in you from weakness and laziness. I seek refuge in you from cowardice and stinginess, and I seek refuge in you from being overwhelmed by debt and by the tyranny of men. This dua is a reminder that taqwa and the remembrance of Allah alleviates a lot of the challenges that we have in our day-to-day life. It also reminds us that a lot of these challenges are internal struggles, not necessarily external struggles, and that a lot of these are a matter of perspective. And when I was writing this dua down in anticipation of the khutbah today, I thought about cowardice versus bravery. We think that that's something that, you know, is just the way people are. Some people are brave, some people are not. But really, these are internal perspectives that Allah can guide us to and Allah can overcome. You know, you think of two twins, you know, two twin boys raised in the same house, raised in the same family, have the same background and the same resources. One of them may be a very brave, fearless young boy who will jump into the pool or jump off of the stairs, and he really has just that kind of nature in him. Another may be very meek and shy and quiet and doesn't take chances. And it's a matter of their perspective. You know, Allah has guided one a certain way and guided another a certain way. And Allah is the one who guides our hearts. And in remembering that, and remembering that mindfulness and having that taqwa, Allah will guide us if we ask. These are internal struggles that can be overcome by the remembrance of Allah. We also have to have confidence that in the remembrance of Allah and in these moments of taqwa, Allah can make anything possible, and He can guide us to victory. And in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, إن ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم وإن يخذلكم فمن بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم وإن يخذلكم يخذلكم فمن ذا الذي ينصركم من بعده وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. If Allah assists you, then no one can overcome you. And if He forsakes you, then who is there that can assist you after Him? And on Allah should all the believers rely. This verse is a reminder that this is about having that connection and having that confidence and having that reliance of Allah, because only Allah is deserving of that reliance. It's about placing our trust in the only one who we should place our trust in, and it's about being confident that victory is only from Allah, number one, and number two, that victory is oftentimes relative. We think, oh Allah, I want to achieve this outcome, and we ask Allah for something, and it sometimes doesn't happen. But the reality is, we don't know where Allah's plan lies, and we don't know if that's what was best for us. And again, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah reminds us that perhaps you hate a thing, and it is good for you, and perhaps that you love a thing that is bad for you, and only Allah knows, while you do not know. So, have that reliance, but also have that knowledge in your heart that just because something didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to, that's not a sign that Allah is unhappy with you, or that things didn't turn out that way because you don't have the iman. And we're reminded by the examples of our prophets, all of them, who've struggled, alayhim as-salam, and who've dealt with hardship. They've dealt with some of the most difficult hardships that we've read in history, which does not reflect on whether Allah is pleased or displeased with them. In fact, it reflects on the tests that they have gone through, and the fact that they have passed those tests with flying colors is an example for us that we have to be able to rely on Allah and to trust in His will, whether or not that looks like what we want it to look like or not. The challenge for the second part of the khutbah is how to consistently build up that taqwa and how to build that reliance in light of the world that we live in. أقول قول هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. Ask Allah for forgiveness. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. This idea of developing taqwa is not an easy one. There's scholars and great men before us who've tried and committed their life to trying to increase their taqwa. It's a lifelong practice. It doesn't happen overnight. And taqwa comes and goes like the waves in the ocean. Sometimes you have a very high connection to your Lord, and sometimes you're at a low point and you're feeling disconnected. But it's something that we always have to constantly work on, and it takes practice. It takes practice and study the same way you practice and study for an exam or for a championship game. It's not just going to happen that all of a sudden you're ready. You have to practice to be ready. And practice to connect to Allah and to be close to Him and to be able to remember Him, there's two ways that we're reminded as in the Sunnah. One of them is dhikr and one of them is salah. This idea of dhikr, Allah reminds us so many times of the benefits of dhikr. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us so many hadith about why we say certain dhikr at certain times and how they benefit us. We shouldn't be arrogant to think that this dhikr somehow serves Allah. Allah doesn't care if we call His name. He doesn't care if we remember Him. He doesn't have a Facebook or a Snapchat or an Instagram seeing how many likes His human beings are putting on His website. Allah doesn't care about whether or not we say His name or remember Him. This is for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, I give you these tools so that you can connect with me. I'm reminding you to do dhikr in the morning and at night and in the afternoon and during your day because you have distractions. This dunya is full of distractions, and if you forget to remember Allah, then that is your loss. It's not mine. And when we ask Allah for forgiveness, we're reminded that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, Allahumma ighfirli fa inni zalamtu nafsi. Oh Allah, forgive me because I have wronged myself. You don't wrong Allah when you forget to make dhikr or when you forget to wake up for fajr. Allah doesn't lose anything by you reciting the fatha in a short surah in the morning or not. You are losing. We are losing as human beings when we forget to establish that connection. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, it is difficult except for the humble. So Allah is acknowledging that you seek help through prayer and patience, but it could be difficult. For some people, five times a day, it's not easy. But He's telling us who it is easy for. It's not easy except for people who are humble. And I was thinking about that a lot last night. Why for people who are humble? Why is it easy to pray for the people who are humble and it's difficult for everybody else? And a few things came to mind. Number one is that people who are humble, they recognize that they need Allah. People who are humble recognize that Allah doesn't need you. You need Allah. So for them, it is easy. For them, it's like, this is something that I need the same way that I need to have water and breakfast, and I need to take care of myself during the day. I will bow down and I will pray because I am humble, and because this is how I connect to Allah, and because I need Allah. Prayer is easy for people who are humble because they recognize that that humility and that prayer is necessary for their own success and their own well-being. And that success is finding Jannah and pleasing Allah. Allah does not need your prayer, but you need that success. And you need the pleasure of Allah on the Day of Judgment when all of us are going to be wishing that we had the pleasure of Allah. And Allah's not going to be angry at me because I missed Dhuhr because I was busy doing something. I'm going to be angry at myself because I didn't have that connection, and that the consequence is much more severe than I'm thinking about right now. Those that are humble, they get up and pray, and it's easy because they recognize that they cannot survive and thrive without that constant connection to their Lord. They recognize that they are enriched by the prayer and that it benefits them on a daily basis in very real ways. And they recognize that this dunya that we live in is all distraction. This dunya is all distraction, and it's distracting us from the creator of the dunya. And every time we pass up a salah so that we can finish a TV show, or so that we can finish a meal, or so that we can get to somewhere we want to go, we're basically deciding that this distraction is more important than the creator of the distraction. And those who are humble recognize that variation, recognize the difference between the two. And don't get me wrong, we all become distracted. I'm not saying that I'm perfect and that I pray every time, 5 times a day on time. But it's a practice. And this idea of remembrance and mindfulness and taqwa, it takes practice. It's not easy. And it's a very important practice, so much so that the Prophet ﷺ, on his deathbed, his last words as his soul was leaving his body, he kept repeating and repeating and repeating until he died, as-salah, 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 wa ma malakat aydikum, as-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aydikum. And he repeated it and repeated it until he could no longer speak, until Allah took his soul back to him. Allah yirhamhu. The Prophet ﷺ lived through a time where he saw distraction. He saw wealth. He knew how distracting the dunya was and how important it is for us to hold on to the prayer to keep that connection to Allah. Because if we don't pray and we don't do dhikr and we expect to have some real connection with our Lord without practicing that connection, we are misguided. And Allah does not need that connection. We need the connection. A last tool that I'm going to have you remember is we don't have the luxury of having the adhan in our community right here in Los Angeles. Maybe one day, inshallah, that will become the reality. But in a lot of the world, they have 5 alarm clocks every day reminding them it's time for your connection. Go back and make that connection. You know, go to your prayer. We have smartphones, and we have ways to remember those times and to remind us that this is an important meeting. And I challenge you to treat those meetings the same way you would set your alarm if you had a meeting with the head of your company or your boss's boss's boss, because that's exactly what it is. This 5 prayers on time, these are a meeting with your boss's boss's boss. This is a meeting with all of our boss. This is a meeting with the Most High, the most important, and the same way we set our alarm at 5:30 in the morning because we need to get out the door to make sure we're at the conference room at 8 a.m. sharp because we don't want to be a minute late. That's the kind of mentality we have to have when we set our alarms to make our salah, because that connection is more important than any connection that we're going to make in this dunya. So I challenge us to treat it as such, to do the effort to create that connection, to build the taqwa, to build that sense of mindfulness. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us among those humble servants who find prayer easy and return to prostration daily and remembering Allah, increasing our taqwa. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه يزيدكم واستغفروه يغفر لكم واتقوه يجعل لكم من أمركم مخرجا وأقم الصلاة